Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Wonderful, wonderful camp week. We praise the Lord for the Wiles up in Rossman, North Carolina. They've been our friends for a number of years. I remember in college, Dr. Ken Hay was just beginning to start the ministry of the Wiles, and God has blessed it incredibly through these years. And we're proud and thankful to be a part of this ministry and glad that our young people get to go every year. We have a couples retreat, I think, that's going to take place this fall, and we'll be telling you more about that. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We began a series last Sunday, and we'll continue this for a few more Sunday mornings, concerning the matter of strongholds. And we get the idea, of course, the truth from this passage, as I'll read it in just a moment. It's speaking about this matter of calculated thought. Ancient days, of course, there were more prevalent to have castles and fortresses and, of course, the lookout towers that often decorated the walls of those ancient castles to, of course, place those that were there that would, of course, with military knowledge to be able to protect the people inside of the fortress. Paul the Apostle uses that idea in this passage here concerning our thoughts. That if we're not careful, folks, and you know this is the case, I know this and I know you know this, and that it is very, very true for us that we have calculated thoughts. I'm not talking about the haphazard thoughts. We have those every minute. We have thoughts that come flashing in our minds and they're gone. But it's those thoughts, it's those calculated thoughts that begin to really take control of our thinking, our outlook, and finally our decisions. The Lord addresses this, and my, how we need to understand what a real danger this can be. Now, there is the positive side that we are to have good, godly, biblical, calculated thoughts in our mind. That's what we're after. That's what combats the wrong calculated thoughts in our minds and our hearts. But folks, we realize that we need to be warned about this. And so let me warn you today. Let's look at our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verses 3 through verse 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And there again, that's where our term comes from. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. This is what we need to learn in our lives. Folks, every one of us have a battle in our minds. Every one of us. There's a constant battle and struggle going on in our minds to do what is right, and yet we have the struggle against those things that are selfish and fleshly, and we know that God disapproves of. And so we have this battle going on to conquer a city in Paul's day. Of course, invaders had to find a way through the wall or storm the towers and capture the commanding officers. And folks, here is the real battle that you and I go through with every day and every moment, that we try our best. If we are investing the Bible into our minds, we realize that there's going to be reaction from our own nature and from the culture and the world around us, and even Satan himself. And this is a real battle. Where do these things come from? Well, every stronghold starts with an idea. At first, it's just a thought. But we allow that thought to remain in our minds, and we start building upon that until it captivates us and it captures us and it controls us. I'll give you an Old Testament illustration. In the book of Joshua chapter 7, we find the account where God's people have surrounded that country and that nation and that fortress of Jericho. We spoke about this last Sunday. And one of the commands that God had given to Joshua and all of the people previous to their coming to Jericho, they have a lot of riches and they have a lot of things, and don't you take any of those things. And of course, we find out that there was one man who did take some things. He disobeyed God. His name was Achan. Achan. And the scripture says in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, when I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Do you notice the process? He says, I first saw it. I laid my eyes upon that. Then he thought it with his mind. And then he desired it with his heart, and then he acted. And that's always the process that I go through with and you go through with. There's something that we see, and then our minds think about that. And then we capture that thing, and we process that thing, and we plan on that thing, and we work in our minds, and of course we desire it, and then we act upon it. We do that every day. And folks, the Lord is warning us in this passage that a lot of our calculated thought is not pleasing to Him, and it's damaging to us, and it will defeat us if we're not careful. Amen. It is incredible, the people that have this calculated thought, well, you know, I'm no good and I'm a failure. And they waste most of their life because they have that calculated thought, they have processed this, and they've allowed it to control them in their lives. And many of God's people are like that. They're defeated. They're discouraged. And there are some people just, they have the calculated thought, I'm so unhappy and I cannot be happy and I can't achieve anything. And people live defeated lives because they've allowed that stronghold to take control of their lives. And that happens over and over and over again. Usually when we hear about in the course of the news in the afternoon, especially if you live around this area, My, it's somebody's being murdered every day. And folks, usually these thoughts of murdering or robbing a bank, it's not just a quick action, it's something that's been in the process. Somebody has thought about this and their hatred toward that person, bills and bills and bills, and they can't let it go or they won't let it go. And they end up, of course, taking action. And folks, we find this in our lives. And so you could take inventory of your thought life today. What are those things that have really captured you? What things are controlling you? What calculated thought that you've been working on, perhaps for years in your life, you've allowed it to imprison you? Well, here we find in this verse again, I love verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every one of you, if you have your Bibles with you, need to underline 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. That is an awesome, awesome verse. If you want something to do this summer, work on that one. And I'll try to help you as we do that. I want to look at some things here because, dear folks, I want you to realize we need to examine some areas where bad, unscriptural patterns of wrong thinking hurt us and hinder us greatly in our lives. And what I want to look at, first of all, in the next few Sundays, we'll look at several of these things. But first of all, the first general area of strongholds that we need to deal with is this thing of having a calculated thought of being proud. I've got my mess together. I'm fairly good at what I do. I have a lot of knowledge. And folks, I want you to realize that if you're one, like most of us, as we battle against this calculated thought of how good we are and great we are, folks, the consequence of that, here's what I want to get to, and I'll go very quickly. The consequence of pride in our lives is this matter of being unteachable. If a person is so proud and arrogant, my friend, that they're just unteachable. They can't be taught anything because they think they know everything. We need to be careful about pride. I read this little story years ago about a frog that wanted to go south for the winter. And he had two friends. They were bird friends. And he came up with this great idea. He said, my friends here, I don't know what their names were, Tom, Jerry, whatever their names were, Sally, Jill, whatever. He said, I want you guys, if you'll hold the stick, this stick in each other's bill, If you'll hold that, he said, the frog said, I will grab the stick with my mouth and you can fly me down south. That's a great idea, isn't it? Amen. And it happened. It took off. Some of you, I see you going through your Bibles. You probably won't find this in the Bible, but they were flying off and it worked. And boy, the frog was hearing as they were flying over villages. Look at that. Have you ever seen anything like that? That is something else. In just a few moments, they were flying over a village and there were people just clapping and pointing. And the frog heard someone say, who thought of that? And the frog said, I did. That's usually the result of our pride. We can't stand it. I did it. I thought of it. Ladies and gentlemen, on a more serious note, I want to look at this. First of all, I want you to note the word explanation. Some people are unteachable because of their pride, a stronghold of pride. We have calculated thought. Perhaps there are some of us, we've been patted on the back for this particular ministry, or we've been patted on the back for this strength that we have. But dear folks, be careful about boasting in that. Paul the Apostle warned Timothy that when he was selecting leaders for the church, he was to choose someone who was not a novice, someone that was mature. He said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. That is to experience the same kind of judgment that Lucifer did, of being cast down. It's very dangerous to think that you have arrived. And my friend, if you have that calculated thought and you know, you just feel like you've accomplished everything and you've got a handle on everything, you, if you're not careful, you'll be the kind of person who can't be taught anything. You're unteachable. And this is a scary, scary thing. People who think they've arrived have an extremely high confidence in their own opinion. I read this story the other week. On October the 16th, 1929, Irving Fisher, a professor of economics at Yale University during that time, October the 16th, 1929, he wrote this article. And I'll quote, he said, stock prices have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau. And less than 2 weeks later, there was Black Tuesday. And of course, it started the Great Depression as the stock market completely collapsed. And did you know, dear folks, that it took this long, get this, the prices would not, in the stock market, would not regain their value, their 1929 level values until 1954. I really do believe, I think the economists are still reminding us that 16 years ago when we had 9/11 and the terrorists struck the heart of our financial center in New York, my friend, we're still recovering from that financially. And my, there again, this guy thought he had he had all the knowledge and it didn't work out that way. A stronghold of pride is making us unteachable. That's the explanation that we have here. So I'm asking you, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? Hey, listen, I don't need for anyone to instruct me. I don't need anyone to preach to me. I don't need anyone to give me any advice because I can handle myself. Well, my friends, see, that's the problem. You become unteachable. And that brings me to the number two, the evidences. Not only the explanation, but the evidences. You may have a stronghold with a root of being unteachable if you feel superior to others. And I mean by that, your responses to the Word of God, our correction is usually argumentative rather than accepted. You have the stronghold of being unteachable. Now, folks, I wonder, have we allowed ourselves very slowly but deliberately, we have allowed our minds, this calculated thought, to so capture us and defeat us that we feel like, well, I know a little bit. I've been to Sunday school. I've been to church. Never forget the first week in Bible college. I had been to church all my life. I've been to Sunday school. And I kind of had the idea, I know at least as much as my professors, if not more. Here I was 17, 18 years old, and I had that kind of, but boy, after the first week, I found out I didn't know anything. And after 5 years, I knew I didn't know anything. And here, many years later, I know I don't know anything. Oh, my. Folks, we have this pride comes into our hearts. I wonder how you respond. How do you respond? Sometimes I wonder about our day and just the assessment of our where we're at as Christians. I mean, how much do you assess that you need? And how much do you assess that you don't need? Well, I remember so many years ago, I was thinking about our air conditioning. It feels good in here now, but I was thinking about those early years. Boy, our churches used to be cram packed. Every time we'd have a meeting, boy, people came from everywhere, came to the meetings. Why? They sensed there again they needed help, they needed instructions. But now it seems like we've drifted away from that. It seems like, I don't know, maybe this stronghold of pride has so saturated us and we don't even see what's happening to us that, hey, I don't need all of that preaching. I'm thinking about Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. These, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They opened their minds to the word of God. After all those years, they still had a hunger to know what God was saying. Folks, do we have a hunger for God's word? Are you in the Word of God every day? We just preach this every Sunday. Some way, somehow, it comes out. Are you in the Word of God every day? You've got to be if you're going to grow strong in the Lord. If you're going to have God's calculated thoughts, if we're going to know His mind and know His heart about what it is to live and to live a successful, prosperous life, my friend, listen, we've got to know His thoughts. And if you don't read the Word of God, you don't know what He's thinking. You're just majoring on your own and the thinking of others. Number three, what about some examples? Explanation. Some people are unteachable because of their pride. Evidences. My, we think we're superior to others. I don't need all of this. I don't need church. I don't need that much. Let me give you some examples. Give you two guys here you'll know very well. First one's David. David was a man after God's own heart. Boy, we find the victories in his life. Before too long, I want to do a little study in one of our Psalms that I trust will be a blessing. Now, I look at the life of David. David was incredible. We're fascinated with David. Did you know, dear folks, this is a truth that just floors me. Do you know that there's more in the Bible about David than about Moses and about Abraham and about Paul the Apostle? Don't want to hurt your feelings, but listen to this. Don't mean to. There's more material, biographical material, in the Bible about David than it is our Lord. That doesn't mean, of course, he's more exalted. Not at all. But we're fascinated. It's something the Spirit of God draws us to study in the life of David. He was a man that trusted God. Oh, what a life that he lived. But as soon as we think about David, we think about, well, Bathsheba. We think about the murder of her husband. Oh my. But folks, we find here over 60 chapters in the Old Testament are designated to the life of David. And that's not counting at least 72, 73 Psalms. That's not counting other things that we read about David. It's incredible. He was a man after God's own heart. Oh, he trusted the Lord, but David had a problem. You see, David had a time in his life that he was unteachable. There were times in David's life that he listened to people's advice, and there were times that he did not. There were some times that he got bad advice. Sometimes there were times that he had an opportunity to kill King Saul. He could have killed him easily. His men, his own men encouraged him to do that, but he did not do that. He did not follow their advice, and that was wise of him. But it seemed like he got in a habit of that, of not listening to advice. Oh, he listened. There again, it's good to avoid bad advice. But he wouldn't listen to the good advice. Can I give an illustration? You won't believe this. The sin of David, that immoral sin, oh my. But did you know he had another sin? My friend, that the consequences of it were so much greater? What are you talking about? In 1 Chronicles 21 verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." How did he do that? Just like we read so many times in the Word of God. Satan or his cohorts can insert a thought that becomes a calculated thought in our minds and it conquers us. And my friend, I want to remind you, Satan and the world can give us temptations. But listen, the sin is when we act on that. Amen. It's our responsibility. You can't blame it on the devil. We don't like him and he's our enemy. But don't blame everything on him, my friend. We're the one, we act on those things that he puts in our mind. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1 through 4, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will it be a cause of trespass to Israel? In other words, Joab was saying, David, it's no need to do this. You know how mighty your forces are. Why are you doing this? And of course, we know why. Because David was doing it out of pride, and he was unteachable. The Bible says in verse 4, nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. You see, my friend, the problem wasn't really so much numbering the people. They had taken census before. There are several times that God demands that a census would be made of the people and the military. We see that in the early days of Israel and its army and its forces. And God would ask him to do that. But folks, we find here that the motive behind it was the problem. Satan had put a thought in his mind and David wanted to flex his muscles. He just wanted to say, I want to see how strong we are. How many soldiers do I have? How big is my military? And he did that out of pride. And folks, because of that, according to verse 7, the scripture says in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 7, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel. And folks, 70,000 people lost their lives as a result of David's pride. He was unteachable. And God judged them. And 70,000 people died. Great day. Why? Because he was unteachable. He had this calculated thought. He just had it in his mind. He had to do it. And that's exactly what happened. There were so many times in the life of David that this happens. But folks, there's another guy I want you to meet. His name is Peter. You remember Peter? He's a boisterous fisherman. And Peter, boy, we love Peter because he has a big mouth. And for those of us that have big mouths, we like to identify with this guy. There was a time in the life of Peter, he was so convinced that he was superior and that his spiritual level was so much more than the other disciples. You remember this account? The Lord tried to teach him something, and because of his pride, even the Lord himself could not teach Peter anything. Listen to this, if you would. This is in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 31 through verse 35. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be gathered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto them, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, Peter, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Here we find Peter saying, Lord, that's just not right. Instead of praying, Lord, help me. Give me greater faith. Give me strength. He said, Lord, that'll never happen. I'll never deny you. And of course, we know that he would. I want to close with this very quickly. Here's an example of two men, of many, but I look around us, including the guy in the pulpit, that we've had our calculated thoughts. And we've allowed them to capture us and control us. And we've wasted sometimes months and years in our life because we allowed this thing of our calculated thought. Maybe we've been down on ourselves. Maybe we've been exalting ourselves. Hey, look who I am. I can never fall. Well, I've got number 4, an exercise for you. We have an explanation. It evidences examples as an exercise. The scriptures that can destroy the stronghold of being unteachable in your life. That's the exercise I want to give to you. You need to jot these down. Just jot them down. You won't have time to turn to them because I want to get done here in just a moment. There is a passage in Psalm 10 verse 4 that has always got my attention. Psalm 10 verse 4 says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Why? Because he's proud. You would ask me to give a character sketch of an atheist, I would tell you from this verse, that person's very proud. You take an atheist, you take away his wealth, you take away his physical abilities, and my friend, listen, you're going to have somebody be crying out to God. And their testimony after testimony of that. That's Psalm 10 verse 4. What about Proverbs 8 verse 13? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And what's at the top of the list, Lord? Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 8 13. God hates our pride and our haughtiness. Why? Because we become unteachable. You can't teach us anything. God can't teach us anything. We become like David. We don't receive good advice. And we're like Peter. Ah, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. Huh? We would never verbalize that, but we have that attitude in actions. Proverbs 16 verse 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29 verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Ezekiel 16 verse 49 and 50. Ezekiel chapter 16 verse 49 and verse 50. Here we find that the prophet is giving the words, the woes of judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? He's describing why he does that. Why he did that, I should say, in the Old Testament. Why he did that. What was their problem? Well, we think about Sodom and Gomorrah, and of course from the pulpit, we've kind of persuaded ourselves through the years, well, my preacher said it's because there were homosexuals there. Yeah, that was a big problem. But it was that action was a result of a greater problem in their hearts. Huh? Ezekiel 16, verse 49 and 50, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, an abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were," verse 50, "they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good." My, I thought it was the perversion. Yeah, that's terrible, but that was not the main reason. Their problem was with pride. That's my problem, pride. That's your problem, is pride. And when we get proud, my friend, when that's all we think about, that's all we're strategizing for, we're planning on that. Everything's about me. Listen, we're unteachable. You can't teach us anything. And that's frightening. Sin of Sodom started with pride, thinking that they could do anything they wanted, regardless of what God said. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father." It is not of the Father, but is of the world. "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." What's the answer? James 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace." He giveth more grace. "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Next verse, verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." That's the way of success. That's the way of success. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And folks, humility is evidenced by two things, submission and service. Submission and service. I give you a prayer request today for me and a prayer request for your own heart. Every day, oh God, forgive me for my pride. Forgive me for my pride. You see, in James chapter 1, where we find James giving us this wonderful blank check of God's blessings, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of Him. And you know the reason we don't ask for wisdom? Because we don't think we need any more. And folks, God has His ways of humbling us. God has ways of letting us know very quickly how weak and frail we are and insufficient we are. And most of us in this room can testify to that. Young people, listen to me. You're not Superman. I will never forget my first day at Carrington Junior High School. Not my first day there, but I joined the track team. Curtis Young was my coach. Does anybody in this room remember the name Curtis Young? All right, warn you who I'm talking about. Good, nice man. I understood he was a preacher at one time, and he may be kin to somebody. I hope not. I don't mean to offend you. He was my coach. Boy, he cussed like a sailor. I was in boot camp. I was in boot camp. You guys been to boot camp? Yeah, I've been there too. Curtis Young. I hope he was a saved man. I hope so. I'll never forget I made one of the biggest mistakes of my life when I joined the track team. Here we are, little lanky, skinny boys. The reason I was on the track team because I was not big enough to play basketball or play football. I was allergic to pain, and so I didn't go that route. So I could run track. First day he called out, he said, he called my name. He said, what's your name, son? I said, my buddies, I said, I'm Superman. Russell, he said, you know what he said? He said, we're going to find out if you're Superman. And I found out in 2 or 3 days, I was not Superman. I am not Superman. Arrogant. Oh my. How stupid. Now I look around this room. Listen to me. I love you. Some of you got a lot of miles under your belt. Got a lot of miles. You've achieved a lot of things. God bless you. God's been good to us. But about the time we allow our achievements and our advancements and what we've got in our pocket, if we allow that to cause us to be so proud that we're no longer any good for anything, that we cannot be taught, my friend, we're in a sad, sad condition. Amen. I never will forget reading. I read it often about our Lord in the upper room, the Last Supper, that He put that towel over His arm and He washed the disciples' feet. And I've often said this. I said it the other week about, I think it's Appalachian Bible College up in, is it Beckley, West Virginia? Up there somewhere, Bluefield. Good school. Dr. Gary Anderson, I know him, met him on several occasions. But every time they have a graduation every year, I think they still do it to this day, they put a towel over the graduates' arms to remind them, you go forth from this place as servants. And folks, that's the kind of humility that we need in our lives. Our Father, I pray this morning that You'll take this message and apply it to my heart and all of our hearts. I love these folks. I thank You for their faithfulness. But dear Father, I pray that we'll understand that if we're too proud, it becomes a stronghold. And our passage tells us when we do that, it is a casting down. Casting down. And it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we're to bring every thought, even all of our calculated thoughts, our plans, we are to bring that into obedience to Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we've got a lot to work on. And I pray this morning that You'll take this study that we're doing and speak to our hearts. Father, it is incredible the calculated thought that we have in our mind that defeats us. It distracts us from the right priorities of our life, the right agenda. Some people live defeated Christian lives because they've allowed a calculated thought to conquer them. Might be from the past. It might be because perhaps maybe their future is their goals and dreams that they had in mind are not being fulfilled and they're down on themselves. Some people just accept the stronghold of depression. We accept the stronghold of defeat and unhappiness and unbelief and so many other things that just come into our lives. And Father, I pray that you'd forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive us in this room of our sins, of allowing things to defeat us. And it brings down, of course, crashes upon the knowledge of God because we're not learning from you. We get just unteachable when we allow these things to control us. So give us victory today. I pray, Father, that you'll give us victory today. Give us victory today. That with you, the person, Isaiah said, the person who keeps their mind on God will have peace. We'll have peace. That's the kind of thoughts that we need. Peace and victory, joy, being self-controlled. On and on we could go. Father, give us victory today, I pray. Only the sword of the Spirit can do that. And Father, I pray that you'll help somebody that's hurting today. We ask you now to bless the invitation and bless our hearts. Lord, may we think on these things as we leave this place. Is there a calculated thought pattern in my life that has defeated me? Have I allowed it to come into my life and to just incarcerate me, to imprison me? Oh God, help us to pinpoint it. Help us to look to you to find victory. And we'll praise you and thank you in Christ's name. I'm going to ask you to quietly stand to your feet, please.